Welcome, Mighty Warriors. It's good to be with you today. As Tim Nolan and I were talking here a couple months back, I think it's been, he asked me about being a speaker here today, and I asked him what he wanted me to talk about for a topic, and he said whatever I wanted to. So as you can probably tell from the message there on the handout, we're going to talk about getting in touch with our tender feminine side. Not at all. Actually, what Tim told me to do was to follow God's lead, and so that's where we're going today. We're going to take a look in the mirror of God's Word and hear what it has to say about our identity as men who are followers of Jesus Christ and how we can live that out boldly, and particularly answering God's call for us to be warriors in the way that we can live that out so that it honors God. But before we do that, I'd like to pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for each man here, Lord, that you've drawn. We thank you so much for Huddle. Thank you for what you're doing in each of these guys' lives and in my life. Thank you for what you're doing in our families and in our churches. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you right now. We ask that you would speak to us today. We believe that you're a sovereign God and you are gracious. You have a purpose for us being here. We pray you'd make this a special hour. Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit today, you would make us more like Jesus. We pray these things in the strong name of our risen Savior. Amen. Many of you know me. I've sat at the Huddle tables many times. Stan said, though, I am a rookie up here, so you have to bear with that. I'm also an area director with Man in the Mirror for North Central Indiana. And many of you know, me and my family live here in this area, so some of you know my kids. Cole is here somewhere. Cole's, yeah. My wife and I have three sons and a daughter together. Also, I want to recognize two of my fellow area directors, Rob Leonard and Dan Hyman, are here from Indianapolis, and I appreciate you guys coming up. Thank you. And certainly want to welcome them and anybody else who's here for the first time today. Jesus calls us to follow him. And together, we've been challenged by the book Not a Fan. We've been learning what it means to be an authentic follower of Christ. And one of my mentors with Man in the Mirror, Coach K, was here early in December, and it was great to have him here. He knows that I'm speaking here today. He said to let you guys know that he's praying for all of us and to give you his regards. But when Coach K was here, he reminded us that no man is an island. And that's something that is good to keep in mind, because as men, we tend to do better following Christ when we walk that out with other men who are following Christ instead of trying to do that alone. And it's important to know that, because we need help walking it out. We need help following Christ. We need help facing the challenges of leading our families well. We need help being godly husbands and fathers, and we face a lot of challenges in the workplace and even in church, and we need other guys to help us live that out in a good way. And it's good to have a band of brothers with us who walk that out, and also some close friends, because there are times that the battles get pretty tough, and it's good to have some guys who will climb into the foxhole with you during those tough times and help encourage you and remind you, as it says back here, that the Lord does have a purpose, and that purpose does prevail. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "And we know that in all things," which includes Huddle, "God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." What is that purpose? "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." As we follow Christ, God is conforming us to the image of his Son. He's making us more like Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what's Jesus like? And that could pretty easily be about a 12-week series, and I've got maybe 30 minutes before Stan cuts me off. So we're going to narrow that down with a microscope and look at one aspect of Jesus' character, and that's Jesus as a warrior. And if we're called to be like him, we are also called to be warriors. Psalm 24 says, starting in verse 7, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." The Lord is a warrior, and men are warriors. But one of the problems when we talk about manhood in America today is that a lot of men struggle to even understand what it means to be a man. And I'd like you to consider three of our roles. There are other roles, but three of our roles as men. We are sons, we are leaders, and we are warriors. And I want to look at the book of Genesis to exemplify this. We know that Adam was made by God. We also know that he was made in the image of God. And Adam was a creature, but he was also an image bearer. And on a personal level, he was living out the role of a son in relationship with God. And in Jesus Christ, we are made sons again. So we are sons, and that relates to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And this is part of our identity. Actually, it's the core part of our identity as men in Christ, and that never changes. But then in our roles, we also see that we're leaders, because in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, "Work the garden." Adam was the head of the human race, and he was to lead his family, but he was to work. And part of that is being a provider for our families and being a worker, as Adam was called to do. But right after God told Adam to work, he also said, keep it, when he talked about the garden. And in the Hebrew, the word there that's translated as keep is a martial term. It's a warrior term. And it conveys this idea of being a warrior. And what God was saying was, guard the garden. Work the garden, provide for your family, but guard the garden, protect it. And God said this before sin had ever entered into the world. This was part of who Adam was to be. Adam was to be a warrior. He's responsible for guarding the Garden of Eden. And as men, we have that same role. But a lot of people today, even Christian men, we struggle with the biblical idea of being a warrior and what that really means, because a lot of our culture conveys this impression that there's something inherently wrong with masculinity, that there's something wrong with being a man. And I'd like to give you a quote. I'm willing to guess this is probably a first here at Huddle. I doubt this person has ever been quoted before, probably never will be again at Huddle. This is a quote from Camille Paglia, a professor at the University of Arts in Philadelphia. And she's a social critic and a sociologist. And she describes herself, so don't hate me for this description. She says, "I'm an abrasive, obnoxious, Amazon lesbian feminist activist." So wrap your mind around that if you want to try. But she says, if we ignore the differences between men and women, if we don't defend masculine virtues, we are risking undermining Western civilization. The way we're treating men in America, what you are seeing in America today, this is how a culture commits suicide. And she's absolutely right. In cultures throughout history, men have always been in power. And the old view of that was because men are superior to women. But as Christian men, we don't believe that, nor should we. Because the more biblical view is that men and women are equal, but we are very different. And we are very different in our roles. But there's this idea out there that there's something wrong with being masculine, and we see it. We see it on the sitcoms, we hear it on radio and news stories, we hear it in jokes all the time. And I'd like to share a news article with you. It's very brief, but here's the title. Woman stops gator attack with small Beretta pistol. And she says, "While walking along the edge of the bayou just below Huma, Louisiana, with my soon-to-be ex-husband, discussing property settlement and other divorce issues, we were surprised by a huge 12-foot alligator suddenly emerging from the murky water and charging at us with its jaws wide open. She must have been protecting her nest because she was extremely aggressive. If it had not been for my Beretta Jetfire 25 caliber pistol with me, I might not be here today. Just one shot to my estranged husband's kneecap was all it took. The gator got him easily. I was able to escape just by walking away at a brisk pace. It's one of the best pistols in my collection. Plus, the amount I saved in lawyer's fees was more than worth the purchase price of the gun." Guys, I'm glad we can laugh at that, because if you look at the ridiculous anti-masculine messages out there in our society, it makes you want to scream. But you've got to remember that no matter how confused our culture is about manhood, that it is the Lord's purposes that are going to prevail. We as Christian men are not anti-women. We as Christian men are pro-women. You men have, many of you have little daughters or granddaughters, and you know how to get down on the floor and play with them. You know how to be tender and gentle and sensitive. But if I were playing with my little granddaughter, which I don't have yet, hoping one of my sons and their wife or soon-to-be wife will bring that blessing into our life, but if I'm playing with my little granddaughter and you walk in the room and you mean to do harm, you are going to see a whole different side of me. just like I would see a whole different side of you. You see, we've got to understand as Christian men that we are sons because of the gospel and we are leaders, but we are also warriors, and that is very real. I want to visit Psalm 144. We're going to look at King David and his prayer as a warrior. This psalm relates to David as he led Israel and also to his heirs as leaders of Israel. But later this became a song that the Israelites sang in their worship and a prayer that they prayed. And they were saying, God, as long as David rules us well, as long as his heirs are ruling us well, we know that you are blessing us. Likewise, men, as we, as followers of Christ, lead our families well, as we do that, the people are better off. When the men of the church step up and be the men of the church, the women are blessed, and the children are blessed. We strengthen our churches. We strengthen our communities if we lead well. So let's look at David, what he wrote in Psalm 144. Blessed be the rock, the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge. He subdues people under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Here we first of all see that David starts out his prayer by praising God, the God who made David to be a warrior. In Exodus 15:3, it says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And the Bible clearly tells us that God is a warrior. And David's also telling us that God is his rock, just as God is our rock-like foundation in our lives. And because of that, we can stand strong. As followers of Christ, you don't have to have it all together. Because as followers of Christ, you know that he has it all together. You know that you don't, you know that I don't, but we know that he does. One of the cool things about being a man who's following Christ is that you know that because of Christ, even when we're weak, he displays his strength. I'd like to read on there. Blessed be the rock, the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He's my steadfast love, my fortress, my stronghold, my shield. He in whom I take refuge subdues people under me. The gospel makes warriors who gain strength from God's love for them. Blessed be the Lord my rock. He is my steadfast love. David knew that God loved him unconditionally. And in the gospel, we know that God loves us. You can't look at what Christ did for you on the cross, taking your place, and come away thinking, God doesn't love me. Christian men need to understand and know that they are saved, and they need to know that they are loved. Because the best warriors fight out of love, not out of anger, not out of hatred. David could fight for God, and David could fight for his people because he knew he was loved. And in his heart, he knew that that love from God was his strength. The gospel of grace is powerful. God says, there's nothing about you that earns this relationship with me. But I'm giving my son on the cross to die in your place so that your sins can be forgiven. You can have salvation. You can have eternal life because I love you. God makes us his sons through the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. He establishes us as leaders and then he calls us to be warriors. And there's great freedom and understanding that because of God's love and God's power and God's presence in your life, you can be a warrior. But to live that out, warriors always seek God's help. Let's look at verse 5 there. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the mighty waters. David understood the balance between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. He's a warrior. But what does every warrior do before battle? David prays, God, fight for me. Some of you guys are going to have some meetings today that you don't know how they're going to turn out. Some of you are going to go home this evening and your wife's going to say, we need to talk. Some of you are going to get a phone call from a son or a daughter saying, Dad, I've been scared to tell you this, but I have something I need to share with you. So what are you going to do? You're going to pray. You're going to say, God, fight for me. Go before me. Work on my behalf. Every biblical warrior worth his salt does exactly what David does, and he calls out to the ultimate warrior to help him. In the gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we see the love of God, but we see God's power. We see God's sovereignty. When I tell you today that you're a warrior, I am not saying man up at all. What I'm saying is look at how awesome God is. That's where your help comes from. Be bold in His strength. The biblical warrior praises God. He requests God's help, but he also makes a commitment to God. Verse 9 says, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon the 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me. Deliver me from the hand of the foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. The warrior makes a commitment. He makes a commitment that at the end of the day, no matter what the battles have been, no matter how those battles turn out, that he will praise the Lord. That's a great way to start your day, men. He goes before me. He's bigger than any battle I'm going to see. When we begin our day, we need to pray, Lord, whatever comes at me, whether I get hurt or not, whether I'm afraid, whether I'm broken today, no matter what, I will be a warrior because you are with me. You are sovereign over all things, and when this day is over, I will sing your praises. Because you alone are God, and you are worthy. Men, I'd like to share briefly a portion of my life and how this has played out for me. It's a long time ago, this part of my life, but it's not easy to share, so bear with me. When I was a young man in my teens and 20s, I spent a lot of times living out on the streets and sometimes in my car when I had one. I was a drug addict and an alcoholic to the most extreme sense that you could probably imagine. Wasn't something I did on the weekends. It was 24/7 from when I got up in the morning to when I went to bed at night. And my heart was full of a lot of pain and a lot of anger, a lot of hopelessness, and my mind was full of a lot of darkness. On September 24th, 1994, I married my first wife, Molly. We'd both come out of the hippie culture and all that entails. Actually, at that point, I had come out of it. Molly still had one foot in. In the summer of 1995, though, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I had experienced a lot of trauma in my life, and despite being free of drugs, I knew that I was still broken. I knew I couldn't fix myself. I couldn't fix my life. So I got on my knees in my living room, and I cried out in desperation to the Lord for what seemed like a couple of hours. And the Lord met me there that day, and He saved me. And He gave me a clear sense that He not only saved me, but He'd saved me for a purpose, that I was to follow Him. I felt like Gideon. Some of you guys remember Gideon from Judges, chapter 6 and 7 especially. This guy named Gideon, he's hidden away and he's grinding grain and he's hiding from the Midianites who are the enemies. And this angel comes along and he says, "Greetings, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you." And Gideon, this is my own paraphrase, but basically Gideon says, "I think you've got the wrong guy." There was nothing warrior-like about Gideon. And when God says to Gideon, go and save the Israelite people from the Midianites, Gideon freaks out and he explains to God, "God, I am weak. My people are weak." As if God doesn't already know this. And my response to God was basically the same as Gideon's. "God, I'm glad you've saved me, but if you want to do anything else, I think you've probably got the wrong guy." But I missed the point at the time. Just like Gideon did. Gideon wasn't a mighty warrior because of who he was, but because of who God is. Because of God's presence with Gideon. Just like Gideon with you and I, because of God we're warriors. God said, "Follow me," to me, and we're going to do this together. So I agreed to follow him wherever he led. I got grafted into a local church. After 8 months, March of 96, Molly and I went to a doctor for a pregnancy checkup for our unborn child, and we found out that our baby had died. Molly had been the most energetic, outgoing person, one of those people who just light up a room. I'd known her for many years. But she sunk into a really deep depression. I did my best to console her. I prayed for her every day. And God was working in the midst of a difficult situation. One evening we were at a church service and they gave an altar call. Even though I was following Christ and she wasn't, she would go with me. And not only were they doing an altar call, but there were some baptisms scheduled that night. I looked at Molly and she looked over at me and I could tell the Lord was doing something. And she said, "Will you go with me?" So I did. We went up front. We were both baptized and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. 6 months later, pregnant again, Molly was diagnosed with a mysterious hyper-aggressive form of cancer. With a prognosis of 4 to 6 months to live, an absolutely 0% chance that our baby would be born alive. Miraculously, 10 weeks premature, weighing 2 pounds and 2 ounces, our son Jesse, who is now a senior at Northwestern High School, was born. Molly lived another 4 months, which ended up being 1 month longer than what the doctors had originally given her. And I entered into a new battle, a battle that I desperately did not want to be in. I was still a fairly new Christian. Day after day, I had to get up and take care of my infant son, even though I was grieving and wounded. I had to go to work. I had to carry on with life. And there were a lot of mornings where I didn't feel like getting out of that bed. But I sensed God telling me, "Get up. The battle's mine. Get up." And I remember people saying to me during that time, "You are so strong. How in the world do you stand up under the weight of this?" And I would say truthfully, I am the weakest person I know. But I follow a mighty God, and I know that He loves me. And God gave me the grace to look forward to the future. Lastly, the warrior not only commits to praising God, but he also envisions a God-honoring future. Verse 12 said, "May our sons in their youth be like plants, full grown, our daughters cut from the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in the fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishaps, no failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." That's why the warrior perseveres. David shows us that we should go into our battles and we should envision a future that honors the Lord and then pray for it and keep it in mind. Hebrews 12:2 says, we see how Jesus modeled this. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Jesus modeled how to be a warrior. Look how Jesus dealt with temptation. That's how a warrior deals with temptation. Look at how Jesus dealt with pain. That's how a warrior deals with pain. Look at how Jesus dealt with people crushed under the weight of their sin. Look at how Jesus dealt with children. Look at how Jesus interacted with the poor and the sick. That's how a warrior does it. Because of the cross, everything has changed for us. The gospel restores our dignity as sons and leaders, and it gives us the opportunity to be warriors. Will you allow Christ to continue to build you into a warrior? Will you look at the young men around you, especially in your family, in your church, and even here at Huddle, and be willing to pour into them and say, "I want to help you, because the time is coming when my generation is not going to be here. And your family needs you to be a warrior." Will you move forward in the love of Christ to live boldly and sacrificially for Him instead of looking at your own weakness, your own shortcomings, and saying, "I can't do it"? Where is Jesus calling you to be a warrior right now? Where is He calling you to love sacrificially, to look to Him for strength, to commit to praising Him? In your marriage, with your kids, in your workplace, in your ministry? I don't know, but will you allow Jesus to keep changing you into the warrior that He wants you to be? Don't settle for being a fan. In Christ, you are strong and courageous, not to gain God's love, but because you already have it. In Christ, we have His love and His strength, and we're free. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for these men, these brothers, these fellow warriors here at Huddle today. Father, we long for the day when we're going to sit with you in your immediate presence. We're going to give you all the glory and honor for what you've done in our life. We're going to praise you for Jesus and for the cross. We're going to praise you for how your grace has set us free. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hear your voice as sons and leaders, but also as warriors. Help us to commit each day to you, Lord. We pray these things in the strong and holy and very gracious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's men said,
Amen.
Thank you.